Please get your Bibles back open to Ezekiel chapter number 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. This morning I desire to be a blessing, as always. I want to help someone. I want to be able to encourage someone. I don't know who that someone is, but I believe someone needs to hear this message this morning. And I pray that you would listen with open ears. I'm really just going to take a phrase from a verse and just narrow in on that and go to work. I'm giving you a thought. I'd like to read for you once again in Ezekiel chapter number 3, verse number 15. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib that dwelt by the river Shebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among the 7 days. Ezekiel said that he sat where they sat. This morning, I want to preach on this subject. Sit where they sit. Sit where they sit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege that I have to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Thank you for the Word of God that I hold in my hands, the inspired, infallible, and errant Word of God. Lord, I can preach this morning with confidence, knowing that your Word is true. And Lord, in this small statement, there's so much. And I pray that you would help me to be a blessing to someone here today. Now, Lord, I can't do that in my own strength, in my flesh. So the best way I know how, I yield and surrender myself to you. Cleanse me and fill me with your Spirit. Give me clarity of mind and strength of heart to preach your word. I pray for an endowment of power from on high. Lord, use the message to encourage someone today. And I pray that you would be glorified in our midst. We ask for your blessing upon the word preached, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel was worked up. Ezekiel was angry. Ezekiel was frustrated. He was irritated at the Jews. And in verse number 12, the Bible says, "Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard him behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, 'Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place.'" God shows up, and whenever God shows up, things begin to change. But Ezekiel was angry. He was frustrated. He was irritated by the sins of the people. And so much that in verse number 14, he says, "So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me." That phrase, the heat of his spirit, that would be similar to us saying, you know, he's really angry, or he's really hot. He's steaming. He's living. When someone's mad and angry and their temper is rising up within them, and that's what Ezekiel's saying here. He says, "The heat of my spirit. I wanted to go to the Jews and I wanted to preach and tear them apart. I wanted to go up one side of them and down the other side of them. I wanted to show them their sin. I wanted to put them in their place." Because I was called of God to prophesy to this nation. But here in our text, God tells Ezekiel to hold on for a second, Ezekiel. Just wait a moment. You've got a message, but I want to make sure that you give the message with the right spirit. Not in the heat of your spirit, but with the right spirit. He says, "So Ezekiel, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take 7 days, and I want you in those 7 days to sit where they sit. Ezekiel, I want you to get out of your own seat and sit in their seat and to experience what they experience." You know, when you sit in someone else's seat, you begin to feel what they feel. When you sit in someone else's seat, you begin to sympathize with their situation. When you sit in someone else's seat, you begin to understand where they're coming from. When you sit in someone else's seat, you begin to have mercy and compassion for them. When you sit in someone else's seat, you become more grateful for your own seat. And this morning, I want to preach on that thought: sit where they sit. Jesus left the glories of heaven and came to earth, took upon himself the form of a servant, made himself of no reputation. Jesus came down from heaven, and Jesus sat where we sit. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, Hebrews 4:15. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet he was without sin. The Bible tells us that he bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. That means Jesus sat in your seat. He knows what it feels like to go through your burden, your problem, your difficulty. He knows what it's like to experience the penalty for sin. There was no sin in him, but he took upon himself the sin of the world and paid for our sin debt. He knows what it's like to sit in the seat of heartache and pain and suffering. Jesus was full of compassion, and Jesus saw the needs of the others. When the disciples saw a blind man, they wanted to know who sinned to cause him to be blind. Jesus wasn't concerned about that. Jesus was concerned about how that blind man felt. That blind man never saw the sunrise. That blind man never saw the blue, beautiful sky and the white clouds that just make a sunny day picturesque. This man had never saw his wife or his kids, his mom or his dad. And Jesus was a man full of compassion. Why? Because he sat where we sit. He knows exactly what we go through. And Jesus lived a life about others. Others. That's what the Christian life is, folks. It's all about others. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Yes, others, Lord, others. Let this my motto be. Help me live for others that I may live like Thee. Help me in all the work I do to be ever sincere and true, and know that all I'd do for You must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain, and buried deep and all in vain. My efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my work in heaven begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. The Christian life is about others. And this morning, I want to give you a visual to cause you to think of others, to cause you to consider the seat that some people sit in. So for a few moments, let me share with you the compassion that Christ had for others. This morning, maybe you're sitting over here and you're sitting in the seat of a happy marriage. You've got a wonderful wife or a wonderful husband. Your marriage is great, full of joy and happiness. You couldn't ask for a better spouse. You're still living the fairy tale. Maybe you're sitting right here in the seat of a happy marriage. For a moment, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up out of that seat. I want you to come over here to a seat of a marriage that ended in divorce. I want you to come over to a seat where there's an estranged husband or an estranged wife. I want you to come over to a seat where people don't enjoy the happiness of a marriage. It's all out war. It's a struggle. It's day by day. I just hope I get through it. I want you to come over to a seat and sit in the seat of a husband that tried to do everything possible to keep his marriage together, but it failed. I want you to come over to a seat where a wife sits sobbing in tears because her husband ran off with another woman on her. I want you to come over to a seat of people who have experienced hardship, abuse, and suffering, and sit in their seat for a moment. Feel what they feel, and then still be critical of them. Still be judgmental of them. No, until you experience what other people experience, we have no right to look down upon them. We have no right to judge them. The old Indian phrase is, unless you've walked a mile in an Indian's moccasins, unless you go and how's that go? Unless you've walked in an Indian's moccasins, don't criticize or gossip. I can't forget right now what it is. But think of this seat. Think of those cry themselves to bed at night because of the heartbreak that they experienced in their marriage. And after I sit there for a while and I come back over to my seat, I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful wife You've given me. She's not perfect. I'm not perfect. But Lord, it's by Your grace we have the kind of relationship we have. And you'd be grateful if you're sitting in this seat. Maybe you're sitting in this seat, and this seat is a seat of good children. You've been blessed with great kids. They're good. They're doing right. They're living right. And you're sitting in this joyful seat as a mom or a dad, and you're just so proud of your kids. They're good kids. If that's you, I want you to get up out of that seat, and I want you to come over here, and I want you to sit in this seat. Sit in the seat of a mom who cries herself to bed at night as she prays for her wayward child. Come over here and sit in the seat of a mom and dad who've done all they could to raise their child right, yet their child ran off and is living a prodigal life. Sit in their seat and understand the pain and the suffering that comes with having your child turn against not only you, but the church and your faith. See what it feels like in this seat to have done your very best to raise your children for the Lord, and then for them to say, well, I just want to do my own thing and live my own life and please myself. And watch your children get out of the will of God and suffer the consequence of sin. Sit in the seat of a parent that has a prodigal child. Understand how they feel. Understand what their heart is dealing with. You'll understand their pain, and then you can come back over here and you can, again, be grateful and thank God that your children are doing right. I want you to see in this good seat that I'm sitting in. This good seat is a seat of a good church. I'm sitting in the seat of a good church today. Praise the Lord. I've got a good church. Be thankful for that. You've got a good church. You've got amazing brothers and sisters in Christ. And you experience the blessing of having a good church. But there's another seat over here. And come sit in this seat where this church is just struggling to stay alive. This church is just struggling to open their doors every Sunday. This church has done everything possible. They've knocked on doors. They've gone soul winning. They've passed out tracts. They've tried to do everything they could to keep that church alive. And you come and you sit in this church and you see it dying and falling apart. Rather sit in a seat of someone who doesn't have a good church in their area. Yes, there are places like that, folks. More than you think. I'm talking about even in America. There are some towns and some places where there's not a good church to attend. And we have been given a good church. Listen, I've experienced the hardships of ministry. I know what it's like to be in a struggling church. I know what it's like to, for 12 years, to knock on doors, to give your all, to try to reach that town for Christ and not to see the results that you desire. And you just struggle to keep it going. You struggle to keep the bills paid. And you just are designed to help people. But then that church folds up. That church closes its door. Sit in the seat of the people in that town or that community that have no church to go to. And after you've sat there for a while, you can come back over to this good seat and say, God, I thank you for my church. It's not perfect. No church is, but I thank you for my church. See, until we've been in that seat, we'll sit over this seat and we'll criticize, we'll complain, we'll murmur because we're not grateful for what God has given us. But once we've been over here, once we realize that what it's like not to have a good church to go to, listen, for 6 months of my life, I was looking for a church. And I can't tell you the void in my life. I felt so empty. I felt so unfulfilled in my life. I need a good church. So I know what it's like not to have a good church to go to. So I appreciate church more because of that. And I get over here and I just thank God. Thank you, Lord, for a good church to attend. I don't have to meet in a basement somewhere in China to go to church. I don't have to meet out in the jungle somewhere when it's 100 plus degrees and no real place to get shade from. We've got a beautiful church, a beautiful building. Heat in the winter, AC in the summer. We take our seat of a good church for granted. But come back over to the seat and sit in this seat. This is the seat of financial freedom. Financial freedom. God has blessed you. God has been good to you. God has met your needs. And today, you're not struggling day to day just to try to feed yourself. You've been given a place of safety and refuge. You have a place to live. God has given you financial wherewithal to provide for you or your family. And you sit in this seat and you thank God for that financial provision. You get up from that seat and you come over here and you sit in the seat of someone who is homeless and doesn't have a place to live. Listen, stop being judgmental of homeless people saying, well, they're that way because they chose to be white. That's not always the case, folks. And we sit in the seat of those who have nothing. I mean, they don't have a place to live. They don't have a place to sleep at night. And we sit in their seat and see what it's like to feel what they feel. They can't go to Culver's and get a good meal. They can't go to Jedi's and get a good meal. Well,
I guess. Is that a good place to eat?
Okay. But, you know, think about those who are struggling. Think of those in what we would call third world countries. They have nothing. Every American is rich to them. They have absolutely nothing. And go sit in their seat and feel what it's like to be burdened and stressed. And then come back over this seat and say, Lord, thank you. I don't have much. I'm not rich. But Lord, you've blessed me. You've been good to me. Sit in this seat of friends and loved ones. Maybe you've been blessed with great friends. Maybe you still have a lot of your loved ones that are still living. And you're sitting in this seat and you're just rejoicing that you've got a good family. You've got friends. You've got family that you love dearly. And you sit in this seat and you rejoice in that. And you come over to this seat. And you sit in the seat of people who are all alone. You sit in the seat of people who cried themselves to bed last night because they don't feel like anybody loves them. They don't feel like anybody cares about them. They feel as alone can get. And you sit in their seat for a moment, experience what they experience. You sit in the seat of a child or young person who, because of shyness or some other shortcoming or difficulty, has trouble socializing. You think of that person. In school, they get bullied. They get picked on. You think of that young person who feels like they have no friends. They're not the most popular person in their school. They're never going to win homecoming or any of those awards for their who's who in their school. They're all alone. They don't have many friends. See how it feels. And you come back over here and you say, Lord, I feel the compassion that you feel towards those who are sitting over in that seat over there, that bad seat, that hurtful seat, that painful seat, that difficult seat. Lord, I feel the compassion and the love that I ought to feel. That's what Jesus did. Jesus sat in that seat over there for every single person. He bore our sorrows and our griefs, and he's a man full of compassion. Let me give you one more. Maybe you're sitting here today, and you're sitting on a beach drinking lemonade in the shade. you're just enjoying life. Everything's going great. You have no burdens, no problems. I mean, you're just smooth sailing. You're full of happiness and joy, and you're over here and enjoying the good life that God has given you. Well, why don't you get up for a moment and go over to this sea and experience the burdens, the brokenness, the pain and the hurt that some are going. Over there, you have great health and strength, but you leave that seat and you come over here and you sit in the seat of someone who is struggling with cancer. You sit in the seat of someone who has a disease that they battle every single day. You sit in the seat of someone who has pain day in and day out. You sit in their seat and you see what it feels like. You see what if you sit here and feel what it feels like to wake up every day with that burden and that pain that just won't go away. You've said, Lord, please, please, I need your help. Take this away. Take this out of my life. But you go to bed and you wake up and it's still there. You sit in their seat and you feel the burden they feel. That's what God was telling Ezekiel. Ezekiel, before you go and let them have it, before you go in the heat of your spirit and you preach, thus saith the Lord to them and rebuke them, Ezekiel, what I want you to do is I want you to get up out of your seat and I want you to go over there and sit where they sit and experience where they're what they're experiencing. And Ezekiel did that, and for 7 days, the Bible says he was astonished. Astonished. Now, real quickly, 2 points. When I sit in your seat, I feel and understand your pain. But I want to talk to those of you that are sitting in that seat tonight, this morning. Maybe you are sitting in this seat in some area, some form in your life. 2 things I want to say to you quickly. Number one, sometimes we have to sit in a seat that we don't want to sit in because God is preparing us. Sometimes we've got to go over there and sit in a seat that we don't want to be in. And God allows us to go through something that we wish we wouldn't have to go through. We wish we wouldn't have to sit in that seat of pain and sorrow and heartbreak. We wish we wouldn't have to sit in that seat of bad health, of loneliness. But my Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Sometimes we have to sit in a seat that we don't want to sit in, because God is preparing us to be used by Him
to help someone else
who's going to
eventually come and sit in this. And because we've sat in this seat, we can help that person who's sitting in this seat. Listen, the Christian life, my friend, is all about others. And sometimes God will allow us to go through difficulties, trials, hurts, and pains so that we can help others, so that we can encourage others and comfort others with the comfort that we have received of Him. I said, number one, sometimes we have to sit in a seat that we don't want to sit in because God is preparing us. Number two, sometimes we have to sit in a seat that we don't want to sit in because God is perfecting us. God is perfecting us. God is maturing us. God is molding us. God is forming us into the image of Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 10. It says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, settle you." Sometimes you have to sit in that seat of suffering for a little while because God's perfecting you. He's maturing you. He's growing you. He's molding you and making you be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have compassion like Jesus. Before we're quick to judge someone else, let's for a moment sit in their seat and try to understand what they're going through, what they have experienced. We'll become more Christ-like when we do that. In the past, I've, over my years of ministry, have pastored people who have experienced very difficult circumstances. They were sitting in that seat over there, suffering. And as a pastor, I couldn't quite understand because I wasn't going through their suffering. But I know there was something that I could do. I could, Saturday night before church service, I could sit in their seat. I could pray for them. I could sit in their seat and say, pray, "Oh God, please, tomorrow when so-and-so comes to church, please use me to help them. Please use me to be a blessing and encouragement to them so that they can go on and continue to live for the Lord." And when you sit in the seat of someone else and begin to pray for them, God does a marvelous work. He causes you to be sympathetic. He brings a compassion in your heart that is not normal. And at the same time, He's changing you to become more like His Son. Sometimes we have to sit in a seat we don't want to sit in because God is preparing us to help someone else. Sometimes we have to sit in a seat that we don't want to sit in because God is trying to grow our faith. God is trying to purify us so that we can come forth as gold. So Ezekiel, sit where they sit. This morning, I want you to sit in the seat of those who are going through a difficult time. Because if you do that, number one, you'll have a sympathy and a compassion for them, and you'll be moved to do what you can to pray for them and to comfort them. But also, when you do that, you can come back over to your seat. You can thank God. Thank God. Thank God I'm not experiencing that. Oh, there may be a day when you have to, but while you're living in the good seat, be grateful. Give God the glory and the praise for that. This morning, I hope in some way God spoke to your heart and gave you something to think about. If you're here this morning, I just want to remind you what Jesus did for you. Jesus left heaven, came to earth, and He sat in your seat. He sat in your seat, and the Bible says, yes, He bore our sorrows and our griefs, but the Bible also says that He was chastised for our iniquities. Jesus came and He sat in your seat. He took your place on the cross of Calvary. And if you're here this morning and you've never exchanged your sin for God's Son, I want to encourage you to do it today. What do I mean by that? I mean, if you never come to a point in your life where you say, "Lord, I know I've sinned. I know I need forgiveness. Thank You for what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Jesus shed His blood. He died on the cross for our sins. He sat in our seat. He died for our sins. And if we'll come to God and say, "God, I accept what Jesus did for me. I confess that I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. And Jesus has died so that I could have forgiveness, and I'm accepting what He did for me so that I can be forgiven." And when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you invite Him into your heart, the Bible says at that moment, you're born into the family of God. You become a child of God. And God, as your Father, has promised to meet the needs of His children. It's a great life. The Christian life is a wonderful life. Yes, there are difficulties. Yes, there are times of pain and sorrow. But you have somebody with you through those pains and those sorrows. You have someone to help you, the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, I want to encourage you. In just a few moments, we're going to sing a song. I want you to call out to the Lord Jesus and ask Him to save you. Let's bow for prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one else is looking around. It's just between me, you, and God. I want to ask those of you that are confident that you're a Christian, I want to ask you one simple question. How many of you would say, Pastor, this morning, in some way, somehow, God spoke to my heart, and I needed to hear that message this morning? Can I see that hands raised high? Thank you so much. Very good. You may put your hands down. I want to ask another question. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that if I died today that I would go to heaven. And I'm kind of concerned about that. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that if today were my last day on earth that I'd wake up in heaven. But I want to be sure. I want to know. Is there anyone here like that this morning? No one else is looking. Just between me and you. Is there anyone here like that? Let's say that's me. I'm not sure that if I died today I would go to heaven. Could I see that hand? Raise it up high so I can see it. Thank you for your honesty. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you for the prophet Ezekiel and his messages throughout that book. But Lord, specifically this one that we looked at today, Lord, you told him to sit where they sit, and he sat where they sat. And we're grateful that we have a God that's full of compassion. And I pray that you'd use this message to encourage us today. Bless our invitation now, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.